Chapter 10. After we got back to our mansion, I handed off the canister of gas to Eileen, with strict instructions to make sure that it didn't accidentally release and poison us all while we slept. But as much as I wanted to experiment with it so we could stop the maniac's plan before it even got started, I knew that I would be useless without a little bit of sleep. I didn't need much, but I did at least need a few hours of rest before I started to tamper with the hallucinogenic gas. So after we all changed out of our suits again, we fell asleep to get some well-deserved rest. After all, we still had a solid 24 hours before the maniac's plan was supposed to take effect, and I could do just about fucking anything in that amount of time. I woke up just before sunrise and headed downstairs, but it looked like I was the first one up. I was glad for the opportunity to work without any distractions, so I headed down into the basement to join Eileen and see what she had been up to while I was asleep. As I moved down the stairs, I saw that my beautiful creation still had her skin on, and she had slipped on shorts and a loose t-shirt that pulled tight against her breasts. She looked so comfortable as a human that I had to remind myself for a second that she was actually an android.
Good morning, Creator.
My robotic assistant purred when she saw me.
I made a few repairs to your four-person plane while you slept, in case you decide to use that against the maniac.
Oh, that's perfect. I meant to ask you to do that, but all I could think about last night was the gas.
I knew that it needed to be done.
Eileen replied.
So I did it.
Have I told you lately how much I appreciate you? I grinned. I couldn't ask for a better AI system.
Of course not.
Eileen said,
"You designed me, so how could I be better than the way I am?"
"Ah, good point," I said with a smirk. "Have you started to work with the gas yet?"
"No, I thought it would be better to wait for you,"
my robotic assistant replied.
"However, I have designed a containment chamber so that we may release a small portion of the gas at a time, with no risk that it will filter out into the air."
"Excellent. Then first, I want to make sure that we all have gas masks that will keep us safe from this kind of toxin. So I should modify the one that I started on for Elizabeth."
"I do not need a gas mask, Creator,"
Eileen said in her low, sultry voice. "And that's just one more reason why you're perfect." "But we'll still need four masks, just in case the maniac decides to kick things off a little early."
"What about the gas itself?"
Eileen asked.
"Do we need a test subject to see its effects and try to generate an antidote?"
"Yeah, we should try to generate some kind of antidote, but we should be able to examine its chemical properties and then start to work up something from there."
"I can begin the analysis of the sample,"
Eileen said.
"If you would like to begin work on the masks."
"Well, works for me," I said with a shrug. "Just make sure you only release a little at a time into your containment chamber, so we still have plenty to work with."
"Of course,"
my robotic assistant replied.
"I will call you over if I discover anything."
"Same," I said, and then I headed to the workstation where I had been working on Elizabeth's mask. The structure of the mask was sound, so I wanted to keep its shape but make it actually effective at cleaning the air instead of just blocking it out. Since regular gas masks were way too bulky to really be functional in a superpowered fight, the small shape that fit right over the nose and mouth was important. So I just needed to make it out of the right kind of filter. Plus, I had finally gotten the charcoal I needed delivered, so now I really had something to work with. I sat down on the stool at my workstation and started to work. I wasn't sure how much time had passed, but at some point after I had finished the first new mask for Elizabeth, Norma came downstairs and set down a sausage and egg biscuit for me, along with a cup of black coffee. She didn't say anything, but before she could slink back upstairs, I blinked and looked up from the table. Hold on, Norma. Come here for a second. My mousy assistant immediately turned back around and hurried over. I just need you to stand there for a minute.
Did you want cheese on your biscuit, or maybe a little more?
The food's fine. I just need to fit your face for a mask. Norma nodded, and then stood completely still as I slipped Elizabeth's mask over her ears. It was a good prototype to start with, but Norma's cheekbones weren't quite as prominent as my girlfriend's. And her lips were a little fuller, so I jotted down some measurements, pulled and held down the mask in different places, and just generally ran my fingers all over my assistant's face, until she'd gone 2 dozen different shades of red. "Okay, all done," I said with a smile. "Thanks for being my model, Norma."
"Oh, I, sure thing."
She replied as she took the mask off, to reveal just how much of her skin had turned pink with embarrassment. "If you wait there for a few minutes, I can get your own mask together for you to try on, instead of Elizabeth's. Unless you haven't eaten breakfast yet?"
"No, I ate with Penumbra and Dynamo. I made you some fresh coffee so it would be hot when I brought it down here. We all sort of finished the first batch I made."
"Already?" I raised my eyebrows. "Sounds like you all are expecting a long day."
"Well, we've got less than 24 hours to stop the maniac now, right? So we just want to be prepared for whatever happens."
"That's my girl," I said with a wink. "Now, pull up a stool and keep me company. Oh, maybe Eileen will even let you play with the toxic gas in a minute, but only if you're very good."
"Oh!"
Norma's face turned more red, but her brown eyes lit up with the possibility that she might get to experiment with something so dangerous. "So, how do you think the maniac will distribute the gas?" I asked as I bent over and started to work on a new mask for Norma. "Any ideas so far?"
"Well, it's gas, so it has to be airborne, but it would have to be dispersed through the whole city at once, or at least I imagine that's how the maniac would prefer it, so that doesn't leave a lot of options."
"Mm-hmm," I said, and held up the filter's stitchwork underneath my magnifying glass to make sure that I had the strands just right.
"Okay."
Norma adjusted herself on her stool and leaned forward in excitement.
"So he could have it wired to a bunch of bombs that he's planted around the city, and when they explode, poof, the gas disperses all through the air."
"Well, that's certainly one possibility, although at this point I imagine that the cops have probably taken bomb-sniffing dogs all around the city to try to find anything like that."
"That's true,"
Norma said as she pushed her oversized glasses back up on the bridge of her nose.
"Okay, so then, oh, what if it's actually airborne, like, from a crop-dusting type of plane or something?"
"Oh, now there's an interesting possibility," I said, and looked up at her with a grin. "If he had a whole fleet of planes or gliders like the Shadow Knight, then he could just crop-dust the city with gas."
"We have not found any evidence that the maniac has such a fleet,"
Eileen called from the other side of the basement. "That's true, but it's definitely still a possibility, so we should keep it in mind. What else have you got, Norma?"
"Oh, I've got a good one, but I'll only tell you if you take a bite of your breakfast first. It's almost 11 o'clock.
"All right," I laughed as I set down my tools. "I guess I should thank you for keeping me supplied with food and coffee."
"You're welcome,"
Norma sighed. But she didn't say another word until I had eaten half of my breakfast and downed almost my entire mug. "Happy now?" I arched an eyebrow.
"Yes. So anyway, the other option I was thinking about was if he had it down in the sewers of the city somehow, right? And then whenever it was time, he triggered it all to filter up through the sewers so people would immediately inhale it if they were outside."
"It could also come up through the pipes into people's houses, too. The sewers definitely seem right up the maniac's alley, that's for sure. Well, I think either an aerial or a sewer attack are probably our best options. So we need to be the most prepared for those."
"Do we need an escape plan? If everything goes south real fast?"
"Oh, we have an escape plan. It's called Penumbra."
"Shit, I didn't even think about that. That makes sense. I guess she could fly all of us out of here if we needed her to."
"And if we're all wearing our masks, then we should be protected until we're out of reach from the gas. We could always come back later for all of our shit, since your security measures for the mansion are sure to keep anyone away who might want to break in."
"That assumes anybody would be left alive after the gas attack."
"I don't think it'll come to that. At least, I don't plan for it to get that far. I want to come up with some kind of antidote for the gas, just in case. But I obviously plan to stop it before the maniac can actually activate it."
"I am making progress,"
Eileen chimed in from across the room.
"I have isolated the phosphorus center, and I am working on a method to break apart the chemical bond. I should have additional updates in approximately 1 hour.
"Nicely done, Eileen. Norma, why don't you go tell the others what we talked about and see if they have any additional ideas?"
"On it, boss. Need any more coffee?"
Not just yet. I'll ring a bell or something if I do.
Or you could just call or text like a normal person.
My mousy assistant said with a frown.
I'm your assistant, not your servant, thank you very much.
Okay. Even though I don't think there's any chance that I'll forget that, as long as you're around.
One more thing.
Norma said as she stood up from her stool.
Penumbra has been putting on a brave face this morning, but, well, I think she's pretty scared about everything with the maniac, and I don't know. I thought maybe you could talk to her or something.
Oh, sure, if you think it'll help. Give me about an hour and then send her down here. You can tell her it's so I can fit her for a gas mask, and then I'll take it from there.
I'm sure you will.
Norma said, with a smirk. After my assistant headed back upstairs, I stretched my neck for a minute and then returned to work on the masks. I already had the measurements for myself, so once I finished Norma's, I started to work on mine, while Eileen hummed from where she worked on the other side of the basement. When almost an hour had passed, I had finished all three masks and had roughly cut out Penumbra's. So I stood up, stretched, and then headed over to check on Eileen's progress with the hallucinogenic gas itself. "Any luck breaking that chemical bond yet?" I asked as I leaned over the containment chamber that Eileen had set up at the workstation.
"The molecules are quite similar to those in sarin gas,"
my robotic assistant replied.
"And I have determined that a solution of sodium hydroxide, when paired with a carrier oil, can..."
"You mean soap?" I raised an eyebrow.
"To put it in layman's terms, yes,"
Eileen said.
"Soap seems able to break the bond and render the gas harmless, but that is only the case if it comes into contact with the skin. I have not yet determined a solution for the problem of inhalation."
"Well, that's great news. All of the maniac's bluster about his badass toxic gas. And it washes right off the skin with a little soap and water."
"There is still the problem of people who inhale the gas,"
Eileen repeated.
"And since it is most likely to come into contact with people through their airways rather than by their skin, that seems to be a more pressing matter."
"Yeah, no, I get that."
"Then I will begin to try the usual agents that are employed in cases of ingestion,"
Eileen said.
"And perhaps they might prove useful in cases of inhalation as well."
"It's worth a shot," I said with a shrug. "After all, we can't exactly distribute gas masks to every citizen in Grayville before the maniac strikes."
"Then what is the plan, Creator?"
my robotic assistant asked. You just keep working on this for now," I said, as I heard the basement door open. "But if I know the maniac as well as I think I do, I think we might get another clue from him that will help us stop him before the gas goes off."
"That would be preferable,"
Eileen agreed.
"But I will start with a small dose of atropine to see if it will neutralize the effects, or if I will have to move on to something else."
I nodded and turned to see Penumbra halfway down the stairs. The slender, blonde superheroine looked a little nervous, so I just headed back to my workstation and gestured for her to follow me.
"Norma said you needed to see me?"
Penumbra asked when she floated over beside me.
I actually kind of wanted to talk to you too, but...
The blonde stopped herself and glanced over at Eileen. "Do you want to go somewhere more private?" I whispered. Penumbra just bit her lip and nodded. "Well, then let me just make this, and I'm all yours," I said with a wink. After I fitted the blonde heroine for her mask, I quickly pieced it all together. It was my fourth one, so I was something of an expert now, but even though it didn't take me very long, I was surprised at how quiet Penumbra was while I worked. Normally, she chattered on about anything and everything, but she just shifted back and forth between floating and standing, and she seemed lost in her own thoughts. "All done," I said finally. "Now, let's go have a chat, shall we?" I led her into the little mini-apartment that had been built off of the basement workshop by the previous owner of the mansion. There was a small bedroom with a couch along one wall, an ensuite bathroom on the other side of the room, and there was even a mini-kitchen area through a door beside the bedroom closet. As soon as I led the blonde superheroine inside, I closed the door, sat down on the couch, and patted the cushion beside me. "Well, Norma said that you might want to talk. What's going on?"
"Oh, I know it's probably stupid.
Penumbra sighed as she sat down next to me.
Well, not stupid, but like, I don't know, like ridiculous? Maybe not ridiculous, but I'm...
Just tell me what you're thinking, and then maybe I can tell you if it's stupid or ridiculous or anything else.
All right, okay.
The blonde superheroine said with a little nod.
It's just that I'm really nervous and I need somebody to tell me that it's going to be okay.
Nervous about the maniac?
Yeah, about the maniac, but also just about Greyville in general. I don't know if it's ever been this bad before in the city. Well, that's not true. Greyville's actually in much better shape than it was with the Shadow Knight. But the maniac, he's never been this crazy right out in the open, you know?
Well, think about it this way. What does a wild animal do when it's cornered?
It bites.
Absolutely. If it feels threatened and like there's no way out, it will always try to attack. So what does that tell you about the maniac right now?
That, he feels cornered?
The blonde bit her lip. Exactly, I said as I let one arm rest across the back of the couch. I obviously threw him off when I killed Slade, and now the maniac is panicked.
Well, that makes sense, but, why is he so panicked?
Well, he's upset that he doesn't have anybody to play his stupid little games with, I said with a shrug. And he's also worried that someone might actually kill him now that the Shadow Knight isn't there to protect him anymore. He's scared shitless, so he's lashing out.
Oh, that definitely makes sense,
the blonde said, and then clapped her hands together once.
Slade always did seem to look out for the maniac more than he did for anybody else, and that included his apprentices and allies.
Right. So, now that Slade is dead and gone, the maniac is completely alone. Other than those fucking assholes he keeps hiring to ambush us anyway.
Not that they've done him much good. We pretty much killed everybody that he's thrown at us.
And don't forget that we got the sample of the toxic gas from one of his little henchmen, too. I said with a smirk. The maniac really should have surrounded himself with people that he could trust.
Yeah, but it's not like the kind of criminals who would work for him are really shining, upstanding citizens.
Very true. So, don't get me wrong, I understand why you're nervous. That hallucinogenic gas is some scary shit, and we're still trying to figure out exactly how he plans to release it in the city.
Have you and Eileen come up with an antidote yet?
Well, only for skin contact, but she's working on solutions for inhalation, too.
And do you think we'll stop him in time? It's not like I want to stay in Greyville my whole life or anything, but I still don't want anything to happen to it, you know?
Oh. Are you planning to run off to some other big city without telling me?
Oh, no. I just meant if there was any reason for me to leave Greyville, then I wouldn't mind, but,
What, kind of reason?
Like,
if I asked you to come with me? I raised an eyebrow.
Oh.
The blonde bit her lip again.
Yeah. But I know that Greyville is where I grew up and everything, so I don't want to just leave it. And I know that's why we're trying to save it, but
slow
I just...
Slow down. Greyville is going to be fine. And so are you.
How do you know?
Because I know the maniac. And I know my team. And most importantly, I know myself.
Well, I know you can definitely handle him. You're more of a superhero than Slade ever was.
I prefer the term evil genius, just so you know. I snickered and then scooted forward a little closer to her on the couch.
I know you can take him,
Penumbra said as she looked up at me with her pale blue eyes.
But I guess I just, needed some reassurance or something.
Or something. I smirked. Penumbra, are you sure that's all you wanted to come down here and talk about? Or was there something else that you wanted to tell me?
Well...
The blonde began as she scooted closer to me, too, until her knee brushed against mine.
You should probably know that my, my real name is Veronica Bard.
I know. I replied with a smile. But thanks for telling me anyway.
You know? How did you know?
Like I said, I know my team. And that means I was sure to do my research on everyone. And that includes you, Ms. Veronica Bard.
Oh,
the blonde superheroine said as her cheeks turned pink.
Well, then you could probably guess the rest of what I want to tell you to.
Oh, if I had to guess, I said with a smirk. I'd say that it probably is more about something that you want to do instead of something that you want to say.
It might be both. I want to tell you something, but, like, it's because I want to do something to you. I mean, with you, or, like, for you.
I'm listening, I said with a grin, because I already knew exactly what she was going to say.
Oh my god, I can't. It's so embarrassing that I could just die.
Well, now you've got to say it.
Okay, but promise you won't laugh.
I will absolutely not make any such promise. Now tell me.
So, I know that I've, like, flirted with you a lot and everything, but, okay, so the thing is, I've never done this before.
Oh, you mean you've never sat on a couch with a billionaire in a private room before? I grinned.
Well, no.
Penumbra bit her lip.
But I actually meant, this.
The blonde superheroine suddenly leaned forward and kissed me on the lips. As soon as her mouth pressed against mine, I slid my hand into her silky blonde hair and pulled her closer to me. Her lips were soft and, tasted like strawberries. And as I slowly began to run my tongue between her lips to coax her mouth open, Penumbra moaned and rested her hands on my thighs.
Miles.
She murmured and then pulled away from me.
You should probably know, I've never even kissed anybody before.
Well, you have now. I know you've wanted this for a long time, Veronica, so don't worry. I'll go slow at first.
But do we, have time with the maniac and everything?
Oh, there's always time for this. Trust me on that.
So that means you really... You really want me.
Well, hell yes, I want you. You're gorgeous, you're smart, you're fantastic in a fight, and you're a perfect addition to my team.
Smart? You think I'm smart?
No. How many supervillains have you killed? Did you just beat them to death, or did you cleverly use your amazing powers to take them down?
I guess I used my powers to... beat them.
She flushed a darker shade of red. See? Oh, maybe Shadow Knight got his rocks off by putting you down, but I think you are clever and powerful.
Only thanks to you. Without you, I never would have been able to figure out how to use my powers, and I definitely wouldn't have the courage to do this again.
Penumbra leaned forward to kiss me again, and this time, I skimmed my other hand down her arm before I reached out to grab her slender waist. As she leaned deeper into our kiss, I felt her tongue slide forward against my own. So I let us both explore each other until Penumbra's hands started to slide up my thighs. She started to unbutton my pants, but I grabbed her hands and held them still. Huh? Not so fast. Since this is your first time and all, it means you get to go first. In everything.
What do you mean?
Oh, you'll see. I said with a wink. I gave her one more quick kiss on the lips, and then I knelt down on the carpet in front of her. I unzipped and pulled her shorts off, pushed her back against the cushions of the couch, and then adjusted my position until my face was directly in front of her waiting entrance. Well, aren't you pretty? I smirked as I looked at her clean-shaven pussy. Her bare lips were small and looked like a flower that just needed to be coaxed open. But before I started, I looked back up at the blonde superheroine with a smile. You ready?
Yes, please.
Penumbra murmured and then bit her lip. I bent forward on my knees and slowly started to kiss all along the edges of her pussy. I ran my tongue in smooth little lines along either side of her narrow lips, and every time I reached the top, I flicked my tongue up and around her clit in a wide circle.
Oh my god. Fuck, Miles, why does that feel so good?
I just grinned and kept going. The more I kissed and licked her smooth entrance, the more I could feel her get wet for me. But I wanted to really get her good and ready before I fucked her, and that meant I needed to make her come right off the bat. When I felt like she was nice and drenched, I started to slide my tongue inside her velvety tunnel, and that just made the blonde moan even louder. I ran my tongue all along the walls of her smooth pussy, and then every few seconds, I pulled my tongue out and flicked it in another little circle around her clit. It was easy to get into a rhythm with it, especially as Penumbra began to breathe in sync with the movement of my tongue. Every time I thrust my tongue into her pussy, she inhaled, and whenever I kissed her clit, she exhaled, so heavily that it was like she had forgotten that she could breathe. When her breaths started to come a little faster, I just kept shifting back and forth between her pussy and her clit, so her breathing could slowly build itself up to a grand climax. Penumbra's body suddenly started to float up away from the couch cushions, and I knew that was the cue that she was about to come for me. So I wrapped my arms around her slender thighs to keep her in place, and then just kept kissing and licking her smooth pussy.
Oh, Miles!
As she cried out my name, her legs quivered and trembled against me, but I kept my face licking exactly where it was until her whole body finally stopped quivering and she collapsed back against the cushions of the couch. When she laid still again, I licked up the last of her sweet juices from her dripping entrance, and then I rocked back on my heels to look up at her. So, what do you think? I grinned. Not bad for your first time, is it?
Holy shit, Miles. I've never felt anything like that before. That was amazing, thank you.
Oh, well, that was just foreplay. Now we're about to start the main event.
Does that mean,
Penumbra stopped herself, bit her lip, and then continued.
Does that mean I can come again like that?
Oh, yeah. I plan to make you come two more times for me, actually, so you better buckle up. The blonde superheroine smiled.
What do you want me, Miles?
Well, first, I want you to take off that shirt. And then, I want you to sit on my lap.
Whatever you say.
As the slender blonde leaned forward to take her shirt off, I stood up, shrugged off my own shirt, and slipped out of my pants in one quick move. By the time I had my clothes off, so did Penumbra. So I pulled her to her feet off the couch and let myself look at her. Of course, from the way that her gaze wandered up and down my body, I had a feeling that Penumbra wouldn't mind if we just looked at each other all afternoon. But I wanted to do a little more than just look at each other. The blonde was almost as pale as Elizabeth, but everything about her was more slender and less muscular. She was still strong, but her muscles were lean and designed for speed in the air rather than for sheer power. Her ass was firm and tight as I slid my hands around to cup it, but her teardrop-shaped breasts were even bigger than they looked inside her usual costume, especially when she pressed them up against my bare chest now. Come here, I growled as I leaned down to kiss her and then lifted her up into the air by her firm ass. I turned around, sat down on the couch, and then pulled her down onto my lap so her knees dug into the cushions on either side of me. I kissed her again and felt my cock stiffen at the feeling of the beautiful blonde on my lap, so I pressed my tip up against her slick entrance but held her up by her waist so I wouldn't slide inside her all at once.
Miles, I really, and I mean really, really want you inside of me, but I kinda also want to...
I held the tip of my cock just against her soft pussy lips and waited for her to finish.
It is my first time, you know? So I don't really think it's fair that you got to go down on me when I also want to, go down on you.
Oh. Nobody's stopping you, I said with a smile. You go right ahead and do whatever you want.
Okay.
Penumbra said as she slid off my lap and onto her knees in front of me.
But you might have to help me a little. I want to make you happy, but I don't really know what
I... I won't leave you in the lurch. Why don't you just kiss it first, and we'll take it from there. The slender blonde reached up to grip my hard shaft, and then she lowered her lips down just over the tip. She let her mouth run all over the end of my cock, and as she got a little more used to it, she started to add in her tongue, until she slid her whole mouth up and down the tip of my shaft. Oh, fuck, that feels good. You are a natural. I purred as I gently clasped the back of her head and started to pull her down a little further onto my dick. Penumbra said as she took more of my cock into her mouth. I let her slide up and down for a few minutes, and then I gently pulled her even further forward until she took the full length of my shaft into her mouth. She gagged a little as my tip hit the back of her throat, but when I released my grip on her head, Penumbra didn't even move. No, instead, she just stayed exactly where she was, and then tried to swallow even more of my hard cock. Oh, ooh, oh, I'm gonna need to be inside you. Penumbra slid her mouth back off of my dick, but she moved slowly so that I could feel her soft lips along every inch until my cock finally slipped out of her mouth again. I reached up and grabbed her waist, but she climbed on top of me before I could even pull her forward. As soon as her knees were wedged into the couch cushions on either side of my lap, the slender blonde raised herself up and slowly lowered herself down toward me. She stopped as soon as my tip pressed against her entrance, and then she bit her lip and looked at me with wide blue eyes.
I want you to put it in. Please, put it deep inside me.
I gripped my shaft with one hand and slowly guided it just inside her smooth tunnel. I kept one hand on her waist to help ease her down onto my shaft, and once I was inside her, I raised my other hand to grip the other side of her waist so I could control how quickly my cock slipped inside of her. I pushed myself into her slick pussy, pulled out, and then slipped inside a little deeper. And as I continued to do this over and over again, the slender blonde moaned and let her head rock back in pleasure. Finally, just as I was about to drive myself crazy at how much I wanted to fuck her brains out, I pulled her all the way down onto my shaft, and we both groaned together at how good it felt for my cock to be all the way inside her. I tightened my grip on her tiny waist a little more so I could start to slide her up and down my length, and before too long, Penumbra began to raise and lower herself onto my dick to increase my pleasure at each thrust. Her teardrop-shaped tits bounced in my face each time she slammed down onto my dick until finally I dropped my hands from her waist and grabbed her breasts instead so I could pull them toward my mouth. Penumbra just kept riding me but made her movements a little slower so I could fit as much of her tits into my mouth as I could. I massaged her soft skin and ran my tongue in circles around her hard nipples, and as she kept bouncing up and down on my cock, I watched her head rock back a little more, so I knew that the blonde heroine was close to another climax. I flicked my tongue back and forth across her nipple, and then gently pulled it with my teeth, and that was just enough to send Penumbra over the edge.
Fuck! Oh, fuck!
She collapsed onto my dick as the orgasm swept over her, and I let out a growl of pleasure as her tunnel frantically clenched around my cock. Her climax lasted almost half a minute, and her blue eyes actually rolled back into her head as her mouth hung open. But I just kept myself deep inside her until she had completely finished. When Penumbra pushed herself back up to look at me, her cheeks were flushed, and she gave me a satisfied smile.
Wow.
She shuddered suddenly, and a little aftershock caused her pussy to frantically grasp my girth like she was hanging by a lifeline. Then she relaxed, and she pushed her face into mine so that we could make out for another minute. Well, now I think it's time for me to be on top, I said with a grin after she'd frantically kissed me.
Oh, yes, please. Should I?
I've got you, I said as I slipped my hands under her tight ass again. As soon as the blonde wrapped her legs around me, I stood up with her in my arms and then carried her over to the bed, where I laid her down on her back against the soft blankets. My cock had slipped out of her when I set her down, so I reached down and guided it back against her velvety tunnel again.
Oh, God, you feel amazing.
So do you. I growled, and then I plunged my dick all the way inside her smooth tunnel again. I pumped my hips, so my cock thrust into her again and again. But I wanted to go even deeper, so I pushed her legs up toward her head, propped her ankles up on my shoulders, and then slid my dick even further into her velvety pussy. Penumbra reached up to grab the bars of the headboard to hold herself in place. But then, to my surprise, the blonde rocked her legs all the way backward and hooked her toes around the headboard too, so her thighs were pressed up against her tits. Well, the next time I shoved my cock inside her, it was even deeper than before, and I knew that I wouldn't last much longer before I would fill up the blonde superheroine with my cum. I thrust harder and faster into her slick tunnel, but I paused every few seconds to let my pelvis grind against her clit so that she would come again at the same time I did. I reached up to grasp the bar of the headboard right beside the blonde's hands, so I had a little extra leverage, and then I slammed into her again until we both moaned and began to breathe a little faster.
Oh, Miles. Oh, I think I'm about to...
Me too. I growled as I plunged my cock into her again.
Are you gonna pull out?
But then Penumbra gasped and cried out as another climax took hold of her, and the sight of her face in total ecstasy was more than I could take. I pumped my hips one more time into her, and then I felt my release burst from the tip of my shaft and spray violently into her accepting body. My climax lasted the full length of her orgasm, and each time her tunnel gripped me while she gasped, another salvo of my cream shot out like a fire hose into her. She must have felt the velocity of each of my ejaculations, because her blue eyes opened wider and wider as she felt me fill her up to the brim. Finally, her pussy gave me a final firm squeeze to milk the last drops of my essence out, and she groaned out my name as her head fell back against the pillows. I pumped my hips once more, just to get the last of my cum deep into her. And then when Penumbra let her legs fall back down from the headboard, I finally pulled out of her soaked tunnel, rolled over, and collapsed onto the bed beside her. Oh, fuck. You felt amazing.
No, you did. That was... Oh, fuck, no wonder Dynamo wants to fuck you every time you two are alone together. Oh, you're incredible.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself, I said with a grin. You feel pretty damn good, too, you know?
But it's not just that you felt good. It was like everything you did, like when you went down on me, and then when you kissed my tits and everything, you know? And obviously, it was also how your cock felt inside of me.
Yeah, that part helps.
But,
She started as she bit her lip.
You came inside of me.
Yes?
A lot. It's really great. I mean, it feels great and warm, but did you want to?
Of course I wanted to come inside of you. I chuckled as I reached over to brush a lock of blonde hair from her face.
Okay, but I'm not on the pill, and I'm, like, pretty positive I'm fertile right now, so I...
How does that make you feel? I asked as I stared into her eyes.
Really good, I guess.
She blushed redder, like a tomato that felt self-conscious about someone calling it a tomato.
I'd like to have your baby. I mean, I feel really stupid right now. Are you sure?
Well, unfortunately, that isn't very possible. I chuckled as I leaned over and gave her a long kiss. Now, I've had a vasectomy. Partially to stay safe from gold diggers, but also because I never pictured myself as a family man. Though the idea intrigues.
Oh, I wasn't trying to get pregnant. I just...
You're fine. You asked me if I needed to pull out, but I also knew that you wanted me to fill you up.
Yeah.
She moaned before she chuckled again.
I did want you to come inside of me. It felt amazing. Everything you did felt wonderful.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, I whispered as I touched my fingers to her full lips.
Like, goddamn, Miles. It's like, I don't know, it's like you knew everything that I wanted even before I did. It was just...
Hold on. Can you repeat that? I asked as I suddenly sat up on the bed.
That you knew every single thing I wanted just now? Usually even before I knew what I wanted?
Oh, shit. Penumbra. I think you just helped me solve our favorite little mystery.
What mystery?
The blonde asked as she sat up beside me. I think I've just figured out what the maniac's fucking superpower is.